Hi, it's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. Thanks for tuning in today, and what a delight today. Sitting across from me today is Krista, and Krista and I chatted on April the 10th of 2012.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
And I think that was the old studio, wasn't it?
It was.
And it was a great show. I listened to it before we came in today. It was episode 13, and we are today doing episode number 87.
You came a long way.
Yeah, and you were just at the start.
Yeah.
I'd invite listeners to have listened to that show. We've had a new website, so I have to make sure that it connects up with that website. But, you know, I looked through the agenda we talked about. It was a great show. Had a lot of fun. You remember the music that you chose for that show?
No, I don't.
It was the Flying Buttresses.
Oh, yes, that's right. The Architecture Band.
So I have a couple of their songs here, so we can play them in between all of our chat today.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And also, I can remember there's been changes. I remember when you had broken your shoulder, and since the last time, you now have a family.
Yes, I have a baby girl now, 6 months old.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your life is busy running your business plus family now.
It's very busy.
But you sound like you have the same enthusiasm for your topic, and that is you are an agritech.
Yes, I am an agritech.
And your website is?
www.veldarchitect.com.
And I'll post that on the website when I edit the show and load it up tonight sometime.
Perfect.
That'll be good. And tell us a little bit about the changes. You were a student and newly married and starting your career, and since in 2 years, what's happened?
Yeah, so I was just starting my firm, so I've been up and running for about 3 years now, and I've worked on a variety of rural and agritourism projects since then, wineries, kennels, on-farm stores, a couple barns and farmhouses, and I've also made the move, so I'm now located just north of Stratford, but again, I work all over Ontario, some jobs in Prince Edward County and some jobs around Stratford, so all over the place. And yeah, you can find out more information again on my website about things that I'm doing and tips and tricks for designing in a rural culture.
So you're back at the family farm and you're busy raising hogs up there.
Yes, we are.
And one of the topics we talked about before was agritainment, and I guess you're kind of wondering if that might be a part of your, not just raising hogs, but something special to it.
Maybe in the long term. I'm busy raising a family and running my business, and my husband, he's working with his father-in-law and mother-in-law, or sorry, his father and mother on the hog farm. And so for now, they're running things the way they feel is best, and yeah, we'll see what comes in the future.
Lovely. And so further into our show, we're going to talk about a great event you're organizing. Just give us a little idea of what you're up to. You're going to run a seminar.
Yeah, so Mark Shepherd, who is a riparian or forest agriculture farmer, is coming to Waterloo, and he is running a two-day workshop just north of Waterloo, as well as a public question and answer session. So just a little bit of background. 3 years ago, I started working with Our Farm, and Our Farm is a group who had a small grant of borrowed money and a borrowed piece of land from KW Habilitation north of Waterloo, and their mission is to connect land, people, and food through face-to-face relationships and hands-on experience. And so last year, Leanne, who is one of the spearheaders of Our Farm, met Mark Shepherd at a Regarian's workshop near London, and we invited Mark to come back to Waterloo and give them some help with their farm just located just north of Waterloo. So Our Farm has been working on their land for a year now, and what they quickly realized after their first year was that the soil was in desperate need of revitalization, and that they'd fallen into the trap that a lot of sustainable farmers do, and that it's really easy to just do what everyone else does.
Mm.
So they decided that they needed to call on the expertise of Mark Shepherd to help them jump the chasm to actually really implement some sustainable farming practices. And thus the event emerged.
And you were suitably impressed that you did this.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's how a lot of good ideas start. You know, we're all searching for answers to problems that we have in your business, and if you dig far enough and touch up to your contacts, that comes along at an answer.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm glad to hear that's working out okay. And so what we'll do, of course, is toward the end of our show, we'll just go over, like, we'll post that it's, you can go online and reserve that Eventbrite, I think was the website.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we'll put that link up, and we'll repeat those other links too when we're doing that. So do you want to listen to this song first?
Why don't I give a quick introduction to Mark Sheppard and why I like Mark Sheppard so much, and then we'll play a song and we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's that permaculture song that there's another accomplice to our show today, and that's Leanne Baer, and very kindly helped out with
our silent accomplice.
Yes, our silent accomplice. Maybe she's listening in.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, so just a little bit about Mark. Mark Sheppard, I really like Mark because he is a real farmer. He runs 106 acres of land in Wisconsin, growing chestnuts, hazelnuts, walnut, hickory, pine nuts, apple, pears, cherries, asparagus, and his farm is a real farm, and it makes money, it makes profit. It's not a tourist farm, and Mark is very down-to-earth, very practical, and very passionate about his restoration agriculture, and so that's why I think having Mark here is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people to come out.
Is he on a regular tour? Is it, like, difficult to get him to come up here?
He doesn't. Again, he's a real farmer, right? So when he comes out and does these shows, he takes time away from his farm, and we all know how the work can build up when you do that. So he does maybe 10, 15 shows or workshops a year, depending on who's interested.
Well, we're going to take some clips from that show and disperse them amongst our hour together here. And it was part of a two-hour presentation he did at.
Yeah, and I highly recommend listening to it. Maybe we'll post that link as well.
I think I'll do that. We'll have a full page of links, and people can have all kinds of fun and get all up to date on what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play this permaculture tune. It's kind of fun. You want to give us a little lead into it? Can you remember it? I think Leanne said it was, I looked at it myself, and it's apparently a student of permaculture at an American college, thought he'd write a song about it.
Oh, okay, perfect. I didn't have time to listen to it. That busy life again got ahead of me.
I can imagine. You must be just, I was always impressive. You're in the pleasant space and just busy, busy, busy. So. But I don't want to take the thunder away from this one, but this young gentleman wrote a little song about the 10... advantages, I guess you call them, of permaculture, the 10 rules of permaculture.
Perfect.
Yes. Okay, stay tuned, folks. Thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Krista Hulshoff from Bell Architect. Delighted to have her back as a guest. And she was here on episode 13, and now it's episode 86 on this, the August the 12th of 2014. We'll be right back.
Hi there. This is a song I wrote for anyone wondering what the heck permaculture is. I hope you enjoy. A permaculture design, just finished up my course. Wanna take it home, take the world on a tour de force. Fruits and trees, flowers and bees, sprouts and seeds, enough for you and me. First come the earth, yeah, you got to take care of it. Then come the people, then each his fair share of it. Design for the earth and you design for yourself. Help design a world better for you and everybody else. Yeah, principle one, observe and interact, or you won't get far, man, that is just a fact. Principle two, capture and store energy. Put the water in the ground instead of washing out the sea. Principle three, is often so tasty. It's obtain a yield no matter what you grow. It got to eat, to work, to live, to make it worth all the hoeing. Principle four, I keep you on track. Self-regulate and accept feedback. By that I mean you got to know that things change. Don't be afraid to learn from nature's ways. It's first come the earth, yeah, you got to take care of it. Then come the people and each his fair share of it. Designed for the earth and you designed for yourself. Help design a world better for you and everybody else. Principle 5, it's better to be renewable. Hydroelectric, solar power, it's super doable. You don't need a tractor if you got a horse. If you got two hands, you don't need brute force. Principle 6, waste is an illusion. Nature recycles all while we waste time in confusion. Principle 7, design for patterns to details. Nature got the answer from the spiral to the sweet swell. Principle 8, integrate. Each element multifunctional. Each function support the just in case. Because first come the earth, yeah, you got to take care of it. Then come the people, then each his fair share of it. Designed for the earth and you designed for yourself. Help design a world better for you and everybody else. Four more principles to go, here we go. Principle 9, keep it small, take it slow. Get the most for the least, you got to go with the flow, yo. Principle 10, value diversity. One basket too small for all the eggs you're gonna need. Principle 11's all about the edges. Value the margin less, row more hedges. Principle 12, get creative with change. Each an opportunity to grow and rearrange. First come the earth, yeah, you got to take care of it. Then come the people, then each his fair share of it. Design for the earth and you design for yourself. Help design a world better for you and everybody else. Oh, 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 everybody else. Everybody else, oh. First come the earth, you got to take care of it. Then come the people, then each his fair share of it. Designed for the earth and you designed for yourself. Help design a world better for you and everybody else.
That's permaculture.
Hi, this is Rob Horn from the region of Waterloo. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, thanks for listening in, folks. It is The Agriculture Show. My guest today is Krista Hulishoff. And we've had a little introduction of all the changes in Krista's business and life and stuff, and it's all quite exciting. So, and a little bit about the seminar that's coming up. But first, maybe we should talk about restoration agriculture, I guess.
Yeah, that's Mark Shepherd's passion. So most people don't necessarily know about it, so we better tell you what it's about.
So we'll talk first, and then I'll play it afterwards.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. So okay. Mark Shepherd is the founder of Restoration Agriculture. And what that is it's redesigning agriculture after nature's image. So it's a multi-tiered cropping system designed to mimic savanna grasslands, in Mark's case, or your native biome. And he uses trees, bushes, grasses, low plants, and livestock. So by designing and using the natural ecosystems as a model, he greatly reduces his machinery needs, his energy use, and in fact, Mark Shepherd's farm is a zero emissions and actually a net contributor to energy. And my favorite part of Mark's restoration agriculture theory is that he employs the stun method, which is sheer, utter, total neglect. So if the plant doesn't survive, it's not meant to be part of his ecosystem, which sounds like a good gardening plan to me. There's no point in spending money or time babying plants that don't want to grow. So I'm wondering now if we play that clip,
yep.
And Mark, he's passionate, he'll give you a overview of his ecosystem, and then we'll just touch on the details about how he goes about it.
Sounds like a plan. Let's do that. Listen up, folks. Here we go.
Natural succession. I just want to briefly cover a little bit of this because it really does the aggregation, and then stacking and polycultures. If we were to start, this is a challenge I have out to somebody, anybody. Give me a rock in the center of Lake Superior or Lake Michigan, preferably Lake Superior, near Isle Royale National Park. Give me a rock in the middle of Lake Superior, and I will farm that rock profitably. Okay, it's a heresy, right? We don't need soil. soil is so relevant, it's not funny. Remember the story when you were a little kid that this guy put a willow stick in a pot of 170 pounds of soil, grew it for 5 years. The plant now weighed 175 pounds, and the pot only lost a pound. So what on earth was this plant made out of? Most of the plants made out of cellulose, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Where did that carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen come from? The air, the atmosphere. Everybody has seen trees growing out of the cliff, right? They don't need soil. The rest is details. How soil is built, how sites add grade, the glacier leaves or whatever, and there's this bare rock. Like natural succession, I just want to briefly cover a little bit of this because it really does the aggradation, and then stacking and polycultures. If we were to start, this starts to accumulate, the biodiversity is increasing, the soil fertility is increasing, the soil is actually being built, is being created. More plants can come in, some more woody plants, little shrubby things, the grasses are coming in, lots more imported material. It's more fertile, more nutritious, more life can actually be supported from the site. Now the grassland phase starts to happen, and this is when soil building really goes into high gears, when you start getting into the grassland phase, because they can pulse carbon. Their roots will grow, you know, 2-3 feet deep. As the top grows 2-3 feet high, then you graze it off. The roots slough back. All this decomposition going on underground, and then the grazers bury it all with poop, and they urinate on the whole thing. That's where we really get our fast turnaround, and we can build soils fast, fast, fast. It's in the grassland phase with animals. Woody plants start to come in. This is all a natural process. This is taken on a picture on a lake way up north. You can see some larger woody plants starting to get established out there. I just put this in here to show you as we're going through the grasslands phase. It's not on the same rock. And then we have this system that you can see there's pieces of rock here. How much soil do you think is under there? Hardly anything, right? This little system here is pine on top of apple, on top of serviceberry, on top of hazelnut, on top of blueberry, with raspberry coming out from the edges, wild strawberries underneath, these little wild lingonberries, and the green grass grew all around, on the rock. Now, instead of growing white pine, why not grow something like a Korean pine, a pine nut pine? Whenever we have, wherever you live, there is a family of species that will live right on top of each other in the same place. So you put them in a single row, the short things will get the sun down here, the medium things will get the sun out here, the taller things get the sun here, here, and you're not going to take up hardly any space on your farm, and you've got 7 different crops growing right in that one space. But select the varieties that are more adapted to your site, and that'll actually yield a crop. And how do we take care of these things? Stun, sheer total utter neglect.
Oh, that's a really insight. There's that word stun in there we'll talk about. First of all, I got to apologize, folks. So your host should not multitask. Dangerous things happen, and I inadvertently turned off the bit, and we're going to think Chris is here to kind of fill in the blanks. But what does the word stun mean?
Sheer, utter, total neglect. Again, the plant doesn't want to survive. It's not worth your effort.
He's quite an exuberant speaker, and he's talked about, just to illustrate the point, how it's important. I guess I'm paraphrasing, but basically you take a rock and over time it will grow things.
Because
if you don't fight nature, let that happen.
Exactly. Nature's a very powerful ally, and Mark definitely employs her on his side and doesn't fight against her. You heard in that clip, you know, it's hard not to get excited when listening to Mark. So you heard in that clip a bit of his passion and basically the basic principles of restoration agriculture. So I want to go into a little detail because he went through it quite quickly, the steps that he's taken to create a forest agriculture farm. So first you have to start with a tree. So it's often a nut tree or a chestnut, a beech nut, or a walnut. So basically you look around at your native bushes or your fence lines around here and you say, okay, this type of tree grows really good here. So Mark even has some info about sugar maples on his YouTube channel, integrating them. So you take your tree and you space them out you space your rows out to allow equipment through, allow light in between them, essentially creating some alleys. So under those big base trees, you then take a smaller tree, a lower growing tree. So it's often a fruit tree, an apple tree, a cherry tree, or an apricot. And again, look around you, do some research, find out what your native trees are. I know pawpaws are one of those natives around here. So you put those then beside the big trees. And again, Mark kind of said, you know, the big trees are designed to take the brunt of the sunlight, and these smaller trees and smaller bushes actually like a little bit of shade. And so they're perfect to go underneath the large canopies. So then after you pick a smaller tree, you choose some shrubs. So, you know, I like to look at the fence lines, right? If you look at a fence line in a farm, you're going to find bushes, right? You're going to find your wild currants, your raspberries, your gooseberries, your bumbleberries, and they love the fence line, right? Because it's slightly shady, it's among the grass. And so, again, looking around you, you put these trees around your apple trees. Now, all of a sudden, you have three crops growing in a small area.
Is this like the Three Sisters thing, the corn, soybeans, and...
corn, beans... and squash.
Squash, right.
Yeah, very similar ideas, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, they work well together. So then after you choose your bushes, then you choose your low plants. Again, you look at the fence lines, you look at the edges of the bushes around you, and these low plants are grasses or vegetables or that kind of stuff, or flowers. And these plants play a different roles in Mark's ecosystem. Some of them are decorative. You know, the day lilies is very common around here, right? In our ditches and our fence lines. And they're actually day lilies and irises actually are also vermin control and deer control. And then you can also plant produce bearing plants like vegetables, sunflowers, onions, things that like a little shade, like a little grass. And so that's your fourth tier of plants. And then you continue to, you design it so that there's still space in between, and in between the trees can allow for your typical row crops, your corn, your beans, your wheat, or more vegetables. And this strategy actually can really help you transition from traditional agriculture to restoration agriculture or forest agriculture.
Now, did the University of Guelph not do that, something like that a few years back at the turf grass thing across, not Stone Road, but the other side?
Yeah.
They had some kind of...
maybe.
They had like nut trees in the center and you had growth areas in between.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard of that, but that's good to know.
I hate to date myself, but that was sometime... that was back when I was... they were just creating that. It's like a 20-year project.
Yeah, it is. It's a long-term... the research on this is very long-term. And Mark's actually started a research institute in the States to research this specific type of agriculture.
It's really difficult because, holy smokes, it takes 20 years for the test to mature.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like in your lifetime you have maybe two chances.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too late for us, that's for
right.
sure.
But it doesn't change the fact that it can be done, and for a person who wants to make, who's prepared to make a long-term commitment,
this is
great.
Exactly, yeah. And then, yeah, finally you can add livestock to your system too, right? So if you have pigs are good rooters, and they eat the fallen rotten apples, which actually harbor disease and pests, and they also are great disturbers. They essentially plow the land in between and around the trees. And then we have goats and sheep and cows, and they, again, take the grass down, reduce the bugs' habitat, and act as pest control. And then you have your chickens, and they actually eat larvae and flies and actually disinfect the area. So in total, Mark actually goes 3 to 7 times the crops on 1 acre of land compared to your typical monoculture agriculture.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty impressive. I know one of the other clips you brought along today was it has a little a more visual description of what you can do with that same area, the 1 acre sheets of paper.
Do you want to play that clip next?
Well, we could, but we could play Peterson Brothers too.
We could do that too.
Okay, so probably Peterson Brothers doesn't need a whole lot of description.
No.
But would you like to try a little bit on that and just tell the listeners why you thought this would be a good choice for today's show?
So the Peterson Brothers are three young boys in the States, and they are taking over their parents' cattle farm, and they've taken all your favorite pop songs and converted them and made parodies about how they farm and the agriculture and their passion for farming.
So we've picked out one of their early ones. I think is a Gangnam Style parody.
Yes, this is my favorite. The cat tune is too catchy.
I should mention too, I know that are you familiar with that group called Junior Farmers?
Yeah.
So they had these guys up. for their spring conference in Kingston this year, I think.
Oh, darn, I missed them.
Yeah. You know, you hear so much about them, see them. I think it was just a huge draw for them.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah. Okay, we'll play it. This is the Peterson Brothers, and this is their version of Gangnam Style. See you in a bit.
Working farmer style. Farmer style. We are the Peterson Farm Bros, and we're farming and we grow it. We love agriculture and we want the world to know it. Farming is a way of life with many different flavors, being stewards of the gifts God gave us.
Out here on the farm,
we're running green John Deere tractors.
Out here on the farm,
we work in many weather factors.
Out here on the farm,
we're working hard to raise your food.
Out here on the farm, on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you.
Hey!
Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work. Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work, 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 work.
Farmers are working harder than you might imagine, but that is just because we have a job that is our passion. We will work sun up to sundown time and time again, as if working for the Lord and not for men.
Out here on the farm,
we get away from lights of cities.
Out here on the farm,
the countryside is nice and pretty.
Out here on the farm,
we work together as a family.
Out here on the farm, on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you.
Hey!
Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work. Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work, 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 work.
Is what we feed our cattle so they grow big and strong and then become the food that keeps us living nice and long. Our crops like corn and wheat help make diets complete. Without the farmers working, we would all be starving.
You know what I'm saying? Working farmer style.
Thank a farmer.
Work, 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 work. Working farmer style. Work, work, work. Working farmer style.
Hi, this is Krista Hulsoff from Veld Architect and Our Farm. We would like to invite you to come listen to Mark Shepherd give a workshop on October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Waterloo, Ontario. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Thanks for doing that. You have a radio voice.
Yeah, I just don't have radio nerves.
No radio nerves. That's the trouble. Eh? Okay. Well. Oh yeah, there you go. That's better. We got some other. It's interesting on the station. All kinds of things pop up on the board. Last week I had a real challenge. There was a squeaky slider here, and I see they fixed it, so that's good.
That's good.
Yes. So that just quickly on the Peterson Brothers there, what great fun they are! Good spokespersons for agriculture,
absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a passion for what they do, and that's what's needed.
Yep. So good future to them, and hopefully it makes it attractive to young people to farm,
absolutely.
And we'll And one of the things they could do is like what you're promoting here, the permaculture.
Yeah, exactly. So the biggest, I guess, hurdle or criticism of restoration agriculture is often, does it work? Does it pay for itself, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely it does. Mark Shepherd is the perfect example. He, like I said earlier, he's a real farmer. It's not a hobby for him. And so the business, his business is paying for itself, and it's paying for the reinvestment in the business to grow it. Mm. So last year when I had the privilege of listening to Mark speak for the first time, I asked him what was the premium he was given on products that he sold, right? Because, you know, typically you think, okay, there has to be a premium on this because it's so much work. Right. And he said that it didn't matter, that he could sell his product as organic or not. He could sell it to the high market values and the low market values. And he could do this because his expenses and his production costs to operate the farm are so low that it doesn't matter who he sells to as long as he sells. So he can sell to the super elite high markets because his product is such high quality, but he can also sell to the high volume commercial markets because his expenses are so low that he has that flexibility. Mm-hmm. And that's just good business practice. Reduce your expenses to increase your profit margins, right? And I think you can attribute his success that he has aligned his farm with Mother Nature. You know, he employs Mother Nature. He doesn't fight against her. And so he doesn't have to spend the money on equipment and labor to fight against her, which we all know is a losing battle to fight Mother Nature.
You never win. You might get a little edge room, but Mother Nature always wins.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, no, this is great. Do you want to play that little clip about this profitability on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the little clip that we're going to play next is basically a production comparison between traditional agriculture and forest agriculture on 1 acre and showing how it's financially viable. So just a little context, what he's doing in the clip is he's holding up an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and then which represents an acre, and then he's setting it down and he starts to fold more 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper into triangle tent structures, and he starts to set them on that 1 acre, and you can start to get a visual that you get way more surface area.
Okay, we'll play that, and I promise not to touch nothing, and we'll hear the whole clip this time. Stay tuned, folks. Stay locked in. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 1.3 Sound FM.
Let's pretend this is 1 acre of ground. I'm growing soybeans. Since we're farmers, we're growing green stuff. We're in the photosynthesis business. If this is an acre of soybeans, how many acres of soybeans can I plant on an acre of soybeans? I stumped him. How about you? If this is 1 acre of ground, it's 1 acre. He even just woke up. Actually, that was great. He heard the question. He was ready for it. So if this is 1 acre, let's put it down there. There's our baseline acre. That fan's going to blow it over. So if in the previous demonstration we showed that this is 1 acre, 1 acre of photosynthetic surface area, how much is this? How much is this 1 acre? This 1 acre. Still 1 acre. You guys are trying to game me here. So let's give this thing a little bit of structure. This was 1 acre. Thank you. Pardon? Right, this is 1 alleged acre, right, or theoretical, or potential, or possible, or another 1 acre. So what you see already, by just adding a little structure, like a tree, we now have 3 of these 1 acre photosynthetic surface areas on the same acre of ground. Not everybody's going to be able to see this little demonstration, the folded paper thing. So this is where the trick question does come in. And this young woman down on the floor has been acting way too smug. So if we had the original 1 acre ground, right? Now we put these 3 new acres of photosynthetic surface area on it. How much total photosynthetic surface area do we have?
3 acres. 4.
We never lost the first acre. Yield only increases, right? Now, yield of what matters? Because we're not going to be able to grow corn in the shade of these trees, in the complete shade of these trees, so it's just going to be a different crop. Anytime you go into any forested area, wooded area, there are things that grow in the shade. There are plants that are adapted to the shade. Now is when I really get tricky. If this was 1 acre, all right, and this is when it gets stupid, give me a break, how much is that? That's half acre. Don't be afraid. I'm not, I do bite, but so then we put a half acre under here, a half acre under here, a half acre under here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5 acres worth of photosynthetic surface area where we formerly had 1 acre of photosynthetic surface area. We've just multiplied 500% our photosynthetic surface area. 500%. That's why you got this deep structure here. We got 500% more photosynthetic potential going on out here. We can feed a lot more stuff, which ends up turning into mammals. Oh, that's a surprise. Doesn't that look similar? Look at that. Look at that. Most mammal biomass, any biome on the planet.
I'm Ryan Garapi from ClearPath Robotics. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, that's Mark speaking about how you can stack up your land area and get harvest off of all these different levels, whether it's from the trees down to ground crops.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Use a little metaphor like that, and it's a 20-year process, I guess. What? How quickly do you think you get a permaculture farm going?
Well, some trees will actually, orchard trees will, and nut trees, depending on, as long as you pick the ones that are native and grow well in your environment, can start to actually start producing within 5 years. And so with restoration agriculture, it's always monitoring your ecosystem, right? Like, yeah. It's always changing and adjusting, and so it's important to monitor it, and it will grow and evolve and change over time. I know in that clip, someone came and measured a 50 by 50 triangle on Mark's farm, and he hadn't done anything to that 50 by 50 triangle, but it had started producing $300 worth of products, and the only expenses he has was to harvest it.
Because he just let grow what naturally grew
exactly,
well.
Exactly. He let Mother Nature work his farm.
I guess the hard part is to find a market for all that stuff, or...
Yeah. Well, and you know, some farmers... Mark has actually developed a co-op to help market and distribute his produce at both the commercial scale and farm gate for himself, his neighbors, and colleagues in the area who are doing the same thing, right?
And he would have a really good identifiable brand there, too.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said earlier, he has the flexibility to sell to big-scale commercial markets and the smaller farm gates and high-value markets, right? Because he has...
Who's that other guy that does so well? Is it Serafin or something? Or Sarasota Farm? What's it?
The only other good one I know is Polyface Farms.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, once again, a very enthusiastic supporter of a system.
Exactly.
And has been able to generate a business and a lifestyle out of it.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's very elegant, and this has got to be the Cadillac of... how to farm is to attempt this kind of 5 to 20 year plan.
Yeah, and
you know, I know the commercial guys, like, I think most corn and soybean farmers, the wish is that they have a better rotation, but they need to have more assurance of market.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It would be the best thing in Ontario right now if we could figure out a good market for alfalfa.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that improve the land so much?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It was just relating to my next point I wanted to make is,
you
know, some people don't want to go this far. You know, they're scared. They don't want to invest this much. So what can you do to take little baby steps, right? So some things that Mark, that you'll hear about at the workshop and that he talks about in a lot of things is small steps. So, you know, putting a windrow back in your field and using that to put some trees and some nut and fruit bushes, it not only protects your existing traditional crop, but now it could potentially produce a second or a third crop, right? And something that is good for the land, good for your traditional agriculture, but can also give you some more diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Mark also talks about adding trees to your pasture, right? And adding more shade, it reduces stress in the animals, but again, those trees can start producing nuts and can give you both high value pork, finished pork perhaps, mm-hmm. or even just a direct nut market or a fruit market. So there are small ways to implement this forest agriculture in your existing farm operation, just to give you some diversity.
Well, I think some guys are getting more used to it. I can remember not too long ago, there was incentive to put windbreaks in. I think 600 feet was thought to be the optimum windbreak planting rate.
Yeah, exactly. And it was encouraged to put evergreens, and you often see evergreen windbreaks, right? Which is great because they are really solid windbreaks. But if you look at our natural habitat, they're not normal windbreaks. What you actually see is a tall oak, maple, and then you see the small trees below it, right? And here now it starts to sound familiar. This is how the natural ecosystem evolves, right? And so once you get that density below the tall tree, now all of a sudden it becomes a really great windbreak, just like the evergreens, but it's actually more native and productive.
Yeah, so think some full circle.
It does, yeah.
Well, it certainly is a great system, and it's just really a matter of, it'll take, it's got to be pushed from both sides. The consumer has to see value in that type of product and request it.
Yeah.
And the producers have to see whether they can, it can hopefully, sustainability for farmers is, can I make a living?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I raise my family? Can I send the kids to school and plan for retirement?
Yeah.
So it can be somewhat not as much ideology as just how do we get along
here. Yeah, exactly. And Marx, one of my favorite things about Marx is his motto is he wants to be ecologically sound and economically profitable. Mm. Because if he's not, there's no point in doing it.
And that workshop comes up this fall.
Yes, it does. Yes. So you can also learn how to be economically profitable and ecologically sound because Mark is coming to Waterloo. So he's there's two opportunities that you have to hear Mark speak. He is giving a two-day workshop that's taking place on Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th. The first day is going to be in class 9 to 4, learning the principles of restoration agriculture. And day two is going to be in the field at our farm's location north of Waterloo, where he's going to do some key line plows demos, and we'll apply the principles, and we are actually going to design some possibilities for an actual farm site. So the workshop, two-day workshop, costs $195 for one person or $245 for a couple or a family couple. So then the second opportunity to hear Mark is actually at a public meeting at the Seckley Heritage Farm, which is a beautiful agritourism site, renovated old bank barn, one of my favorite projects. And so Mark's going to be there on Thursday night, October the 2nd, at 6:30. So for only $10, you can come and hear Mark give an overview of his principles, and there's going to be a question-answer period. So I know I have my question already for Mark.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad. That's good. You want to have a good question.
Exactly. You want to take advantage of the...
Is it a fun question?
It's one of my biggest... So I would like to start a small orchard on our farm. Like you said, we just moved there. And so I want to start a small orchard with some nuts and berries. Yeah. But I always found that, the birds... I have a currant bush, but the birds get them all, right? And so really learning how to do natural pest control so that I don't have to share my currants with the birds and I get a full crop is always the challenge, especially in some of the plants I'd like to plant, like cherry trees and plums. I don't want to lose my crop to the birds. I want to figure out how to keep them at bay.
But you could make a deal with them, like, you guys get the stuff that's at toward the end of the season and there's still lots of good
The birds don't cooperate very well. They like the first good stuff.
Well, I don't doubt you'll probably get some good answers from Mark. It sounds like he's very interested, passionate about what he believes in, probably has heard or if I had to deal with the question.
Oh, yeah, and if you go listen to that clip, the whole end part is a lot about natural pest control. So you can register for these events at Eventbrite. So the links for registration are going to be on Jeff's site, but you can also go directly to Eventbrite and search Mark Shepherd. So you spell his name MarkSHEPARD. As well, we have a Facebook page, or feel free to contact me, Krista, at Veld Architect, give you all the details.
Yeah. Boy, no shortage of ways to get a hold of people.
No.
It's a huge job of managing all that, isn't it?
Sometimes? It is, and good thing we have lots of collaborators. In fact, I wanted to touch on them. So it's not just myself and our farm. Steckley Heritage Farm is part of the collaborative, KW Habilitation, the Tree Hugger, and Wiffle Tree. All these groups have actually come together to support this two-day workshop and get Mark Shepherd down here to educate and inform people.
And makes me think. I saw a notice of this on that Food Systems Roundtable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a regular on that one and had blogged on there on occasion, and you thought to put your announcement of your event on.
It's absolutely.
Wow, this is great. Good time to see Krista again, talk about this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been good.
So there should be no shortage of finding out, and not till October. So
yeah.
All right. Want to play another song and then finish off our show? Sure. Or do you have something else you wanted to yak about right now?
No, we'll
yak is not the right word to talk about.
Yeah.
sometimes it's just too casual around this station.
But yeah.
We hope that's comforting for our listeners, too.
Yes, exactly.
So, shall we play the song?
Yeah, we'll play Joni Mitchell.
Okay, we'll play Joni Mitchell. And this is a song I think everyone's heard at least once. It's Big Yellow Taxi, and we'll play that, and then we'll be right back. So, you listen to the Agriculture Show. We're at episode number 86 here on August the 12th. Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you shortly.
I'm Kelly Danard from Farm and Food Care Ontario, and you're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
And thanks again, folks, for listening in today. We're just having a great time here. So much to talk about, and Chris has just done a great job of organizing the schedule for us and being the excellent speaker she is.
Thank you.
So we're going to move into about the last of our show here today. And we're going to do a little bit of kind of wrap-up stuff. But first of all, I guess we want to talk a little bit about a review of what we've of some important points that you think people should see, like, see them stick with them.
Yeah. So, again, Mark Shepherd is a really passionate speaker and really excited about restoration agriculture. And I think the most important thing, and you'll really, if you come to the workshop, the main takeaway will be a change of your perspective, right? So Mark has a concept that there is a difference between concept and fact. So facts are things that you and I can observe, and we observe the same thing, and they are true. So for example, we had an abundant fruit crop last year. You and I both know that, right? There were lots of cherries, lots of apples. But concepts are theories that may or may not be true. So we had an abundant fruit crop because we had lots of rain. Well, that may, the concept is the rain, right? That may or may not have been the reason for the abundant fruit crop. So, just to give you another example that I think Mark Shepherd brings up in his clip and I think is really an interesting story, is that honeybees are dying, therefore our agriculture system will fail. So what Mark brings up is that bees are actually not native to North America. So all the plants and trees that have developed before people arrived here developed without the need for bee pollinators. But the Europeans brought corn and soybeans and wheat, and they are plants that are dependent on bees. So therefore, monoculture agriculture will fail without bees, but a polyculture native agriculture system, which is what was here before, does not require bees. So again, the concept is that we cannot grow food without bees is not true if you just change your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing that you'll take away from Mark's course, is just thinking about things differently and taking a step back and say, is that really true, or why do we do it that way? And that's the fundamental basis that you need to mm-hmm. start a restoration agriculture project.
What a refreshing approach to it. You know, obviously the whole bee thing is a big issue right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
But and this is an interesting bridge between both very polarized arguments at this time.
Yeah, exactly.
And some of the subtleties, I'm so glad you brought that up, but it's those subtleties and nuances that example is, that we hope we can pass on to our listeners to
exactly
just take a moment and listen to all that stuff.
Exactly.
Listen to everything.
Change your perspective. Yep. Look at it from all angles and make sure that there you know the difference between a fact and a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a couple other things that Mark goes through in his clip, and I highly encourage you to listen to it. It's 2.5 hours, but you can't help but get excited if you listen to it. And, you know, Mark, you'll get from him is maximizing every opportunity to increase diversity in his ecosystems and every opportunity to maximize his profits and increase produce. So, for example, at Mark's, he has a composting toilet, which may or may not be your cup of tea. However, he's created habitat in his outhouse for a type of bee which eats his cabbage bugs, right? So he's increased his bee population as a natural pest control. Other things that Mark's takes advantage of, you know, designing all your buildings to take advantage of solar heat gain in the winter, protect from the hot sun in the summer, you know, designing for the possibility of solar heating panels or even solar electric panels. And even if you don't install it now, you have the opportunity later to install them. Other things you'll take away from Mark is how to use zero sprays, how to diversify your income base, how to reduce stress in animals with pastures using shade, how to grow more calories and nutritional value per acre than corn.
Well, this is kind of too bad it's a one-day workshop. This should be a week.
Yeah, I know. Mark has so much to offer, and I, you know, off the top of my head, I don't remember how long he's been doing this, but enough to have an exorbitant amount of information to give, and you know, the everyday person can figure this out too. Again, if mm-hmm. you just stop and think about it for a minute and you go, okay, what do I see and observe around me that Mother Nature is making work? And mm-hmm. you just use her as an example, and you're off to the races.
Well, it's a good fit you brought him in. It's obviously very consistent with your own beliefs.
Yes,
and that's a good thing. And you're an excited presenter for this, too. So that's good news. Everything's going well with Veld Architect as well. Are you still busy designing things?
Absolutely, yeah. There's always a project on the boards.
I'm trying to build a carport.
A carport, eh? Would you like solar panels on top of that?
Well, I would think it'd be kind of fun. And I'm doing it real farmer style. I want to use some old junk later on the farm rather than buying new stuff.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, adaptive reuse, way.
I've got some very elegant junk.
One man's junk is another man's treasure.
That's right. There's beauty in everything if you look close enough.
Right? Oh, there is. We moved to the farm, and I'm busy walking through my in-laws' sheds going, do you still need this? I have a perfect use for this, and you know, adaptive reuse is one of my passions for sure.
And there's certainly no shortage of stuff around most farms.
That's for sure.
Lots of things to play with.
Lots of things collected over many years. Absolutely.
And so let's just cover some of these here. So first of all, you can go to Veld Architect.
Yep.
And there'll be that'll be on the website.
Yep.
And there's a Facebook page.
There is a Facebook page for the event.
And there's one of the Region Food Systems where I saw the notice that.
Yep. They have the event listed on their events page as well as within that blog post.
And there was another spot you had this posted.
On your website?
Well, it'll be on this on our station website too with this. With this broadcast,
it's on Mark Shepherd's website. So if you search Mark Shepherd Restoration Agriculture,
right,
it's there as well.
Right, you can just search for Mark Shepherd, and that way, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Wow. And then Eventbrite, of course. That's mm-hmm. where you actually go to register.
Mm-hmm. And my hat's off for all that hard work of trying to organize all that media.
Yeah.
But like you say, you have some of the people that give me a hand on this stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not the lead on this. I have to give most of the credit to our farm. I'm just their spokesperson for the day.
How big of a group is our farm?
I believe they have 8 to 10 board members, and then also some other stakeholders like KW Habilitation is actually where they have their farm location, just north of Waterloo.
I guess you could find them too on the web, but like, do they have a Facebook page?
They have a Facebook page only. There's not a lot of information, but again, Leanne Baer is a big supporter of that. And if you can't find her, just find me and I'll get you to the right people if you want to learn more about our farm. But yeah, so a couple of their values as well, and their mission is to build a diverse community of people connecting the land, their food, and each other through a direct experience of working on an organic farm. That's their mission. Mm-hmm. And they really want to bring community together through farming.
It's pretty impressive how many groups we have in the area now, don't you think?
Yes, there's lots. Like
there's food groups and environment groups. Just a whole, it's just amazing from a farm perspective to see so much interest from the urban people now about agriculture.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, it's exciting to see, and I hope that we can all start to work at parallel purposes and not cross purposes.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, and it's inadvertent cross purposes because don't really understand what the other person's doing. No one's taking time just to listen for a while.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really important part of it. Yeah. And it's good to bring a new perspective. The urban people bring a good new perspective to farming,
sure,
and the farmers bring a really deep-rooted wisdom and experience to how to grow food.
Yeah. So, it's lovely.
Yeah, it is.
We're very lucky, that's for sure, to have this opportunity here. And just glad you came on our show today. You know, it's just community radio, but we try to serve our listeners here in the Kitchener Waterloo region, and we think we bring a unique message to listeners. So talk about agriculture, and you're a great spokesman for that.
Thank you. I was glad to be back. I was very excited to get your email the other day.
And that's good, and I'm glad you could make it time to come out too. So
yeah.
You have one last, you got two clips to go, and I think you wanted to finish off with the last clip. Well, I'll play the really long one, is just for extra time. But the last clip we're going to play now is...
So the last clip is really Mark really showing his passion and his vision for what sustainable agriculture system is, and it really aligns with our farm. You know, our farm's vision is to have a Ontario full of forest and an abundant productive landscape, and they don't want a parking lot like our previous song. They really want green to be our agriculture system. So the last clip is Mark describing what he feels is a sustainable agriculture system.
I had two other versions of Joni Mitchell's song. One is by the Dancing Crows or something, and one by Buzz Toy something or other.
Okay.
They're kind of jazzed up version, same thing, but a good song.
Yeah.
It's only about a minute, this clip. Do you want to come back, say a few words afterwards, or shall we call it a day?
I think I have got everything said that I needed to say.
Oh, that's good news. Okay, folks, thanks for listening. Once again, Krista, thanks so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you.
And listen to this last little clip from Mark Shepherd, and write on your calendars. There's a great workshop coming up in October.
October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
There you got it. 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Okay, folks, we'll see you next week. Remember, if you eat today, thank a farmer. We'll see you in a bit.
And this is an example of what I call sustainable agriculture. This is the brush on the side of a road in central Wisconsin that in the mid-1800s, the Norwegian bachelor farmers showed up. They cut it all down. They pushed it in piles. They burned it. They split it up. They built it into cabins. They plowed it. Then all of a sudden, they invented new technologies like brush hogs. They go by with the brush hogs. They do that for a few years, road graders, and scrape it all off. Then they invented the wet blade, and they go through that big eater with a little bit of herbicide in it to kill everything as it goes. And as soon as these guys go by the brush on the side of the road, what happens to it? Comes back. Doesn't matter what they do to it. For 150 years, this roadside has been abused by human beings. And it comes back with this full, complete oak savanna family of species that I just explained earlier. And there's cherries, and the last time they did it, it was slightly after this. I stopped here to go out here looking for morels. I found like a tomato flat full of morels. Yeah, more money in a tomato flat worth of morels than an acre of corn. So, and this isn't something that they've been trying to kill for 150 years. All right, here's a challenge. Every one of you go home, and for the next 150 years, kill corn, okay? You don't even have to work that hard. One time through, and it's gone. It's done. Doesn't matter how you're growing your corn, it's not sustainable. This is heresy. If you have to plant your crops again, that's not very sustainable, folks. Is it? After I took this picture, they went through and they brush hogged it with that wet blade and the herbicide, and then they bulldozed everything into a pile, and then they burnt it, and the wild plum just went nuts, just wild plum everywhere.